I'm Drake Anubis. There is a question about preserving data for future generations, a time frame of about 50 years or so. And the thing about preserving data is that it's going to become extremely important. A lot of cameras now, for example, are digital cameras. And you would like to be able to show your children these pictures in, say, 50 or 60 years, like a scrapbook or a photo album. Digital technology does not actually save as well as, say, a physical sheet of paper might, at least not in the time frame that we'd like to have it. So if the question's about data preservation, let me go ahead and define that. As we'll say that data preservation is a method or technology that is used to ensure that the digital information is still accessible and usable in the future. Now, the reason you have to specify usable is that it's much easier to make information accessible than it is to make it usable. A friend of mine is an archivist, for example, and he loves to buy these CDs from Memorex, although I think a whole bunch of companies make these, I'm sure they do, but he likes the Memorex ones. I think TDK ones are nice myself, though. And they're called our archival CDs. And what's special about them is they're made for archival uses, which is great because he's an archivist, so it's perfect. The CDs and DVDs are made with 24-karat gold, although DVDs recently only came out with the gold feature, recently in about a year or two, I think, because I know that it was previously impossible to make DVDs with the gold layer that's necessary for the special type of archiving. The CDs will have a shelf life of about 300 years, which is insane, because in 300 years you're not going to be able to find a CD player. The DVDs have a much smaller shelf life of 100 years. Now, these are obviously projected shelf lives, because no one's actually had this DVD for 300 years to actually do a case study and say yes or no. CDs have only been out since 1970-something, so about 20 years. The real-life problem is that archiving today is done mostly in the library. And libraries have a lot of safeguards in place. They have fire control systems, they have all kinds of temperature control systems, they have monitors, they have cameras. They keep the data safe as long as the data is able to keep itself safe. Books do deteriorate after time. Which is why a lot of archivists go into libraries and convert the books, which are data, actually. They will convert the books to microfilm, because microfilm will last for a very, very long time. Some insane amount of time. A microfilm is also very easy, not very easy, but it's a lot easier to convert to a digital media than regular books are, because you can scan a roll of microfilm automatically. The other part of libraries is that libraries keep the data in a way where it's accessible to other people. You can walk into a library and find the information that you want, although it's probably going to be very old, and enjoy that information. When you store digital information, you need to make sure that it is both accessible, so walking into the library, and usable, and actually being able to actually read the book or microfilm. The problem is that the media to store it on is basically either magnetic or optical. Magnetic with hard drives or tape drives, optical with CDs, DVDs, HD DVDs, and so on. Both these have problems. Magnetic media fails over time very quickly. Like a hard drive is good for about 10 to 30 years max, if it's not being used. Well, actually, I'm not sure what the shelf life of a modern hard drive would be. I'd imagine it would be pretty long. Well, with hard drives, you have the problem of being able to actually find a motherboard that will take an IDE interface come 50 years from now. And it's very inconvenient to actually have your photos on a hard drive and then shelve that. That's the whole problem with not being able to get into the library is, you know, yeah, you have the photos from Christmas 9 years ago on your hard drive. It's sitting on the shelf right there. If you want to pull that up, you need to get the hard drive, put it in a machine, try and find the photos. It becomes a hassle. The same problem with tape drives is that, yeah, you can put a lot of information on a tape drive, and it's going to be safe for a long time, but it's very difficult to get back, and it's very difficult to actually find a device to play that tape drive in the future. Now, a lot of tape drives, especially corporate tape drives, are backwards compatible for like 10 or 20 years, which is fantastic if you have an infinite amount of money to spend on tape drives. They're also very slow, and I can't deal with slow things, and I don't have a lot of money to spend on tape drives, so I kind of ruled that out. Optical media is even worse from a couple different standpoints. Optical media is extremely sensitive to fluctuations in heat, extreme fluctuations in heat. It's also sensitive to extreme heat, so even if you had a box of CDs, if you put it out in the garage, the CDs are going to get, you know, they're going to get warped in the summer and in the winter. Or brittle in the winter, I should say. They're also sensitive to strong light, to humidity, to airborne dust, so on and so forth. Even with both of these medias, the most common problem, the common denominator here, is that media tends to have a life cycle of about 3 to 5 years. I mean, the style of the media. Like, just in the last what, 20 years or so, we've gone from, not 20 years, we'll say about 30 years, we've gone from floppy disks to CDs to DVDs to HD DVDs, you know, then you had all the weird ones, you had like zip drives in there and all different types of hard drives, you know, serial ATA, SCSI, so on and so forth. And then the other problem here is that everyone seems to kind of ignore is that data formats do become obsolete over a certain amount of time. Now, a format like JPEG that is so widely used that's in every digital camera will probably not ever go extinct, at least not for in my lifetime, or my children's lifetime. But the way to overcome this problem is if you actually save the file in the simplest format possible, like if you have a text file and you save it as an ASCII file, if you have an image file and you save it as a bitmap, those will always be readable, period, because they're such a simple file format that it's the workings of all the formats. Whereas if you have this weird archaic file that no one uses and has this weird compression scheme, you're going to have problems with that. But for this conversation, we're just going to go ahead and assume that JPEG will always be popular, which I hope not, because I hate the compression on JPEG. It's absolutely terrible, which is why the medical industry doesn't really use regular JPEG. It's because of compression artifacts. And that's the place. Oh, right. How to actually solve this problem. Well, for the, I don't want to say the typical person, but someone who really wants to solve this problem, the best thing you could do is just migrate the data over. That's going to be the key, is migration. The easiest way is just every time you buy a new computer, which you will do eventually in your life, I hope, is you move the data to the new computer. Just keep moving it across. Now, this is a whole bunch of problems, that your computer could easily fail. If it's a laptop, it can get stolen, it can get lost. So you want to keep a backup. You can keep a backup on whatever the most modern generation is, so on and so forth. The coolest solution is to have a RAID array. Like I have. I have an 80 gigabyte RAID array, because at one point in time I had a stack of 80 gigabyte drives, which are pretty small by today's standards, I'd imagine. But it's actually a RAID 6 array, which means the thing about RAID 6 is that if any two drives in the array fail simultaneously, the data is still going to be there, which is fantastic, even though the odds of two drives failing simultaneously is extremely unlikely. And failing catastrophically, I should add, because they can fail, and you can still kind of recover the data off if you play with it right. But RAID 6 is kind of overkill, but I had an abundance of drives. So you set up a RAID array, and you put it on a server. And the server can be a slow computer, it can be a fast computer, it doesn't matter, whatever you have lying around. You definitely don't want a high-end system just for a photo server, assuming these are all photos, although this does work for any type of data. My personal server is actually on a server rack, sitting out in the garage with a gigabit LAN connection, because I'm transferring these large 40 megabyte photos from my DSLR, so you need gigabit speed to do it efficiently. But more or less anything will work, anything you can hack together would probably be fine. And migration is key. So how do you know when to actually migrate the equipment? Well, you're going to want to migrate the equipment every 5 to 10 years. And you're going to think, well, do I have to if it still works? Well, no, you don't. But here's the thing, is that data size files do actually increase. Like, for example, in 2000, I had a camera that took JPEG images that were about 50 kilobytes each. My current camera that I got several months ago is a DSLR from Olympus, and it takes nice 12 megabyte photos when it's shooting in, no, I'm sorry, 12 megapixel photos, which save as 40 megabytes. So in the course of 7 years, we went from a 500 kilobyte to a 40 megabyte photo, which means that file size is the amount of photos you can store per gigabyte on a disk decreases dramatically, and it's non-linear, which is kind of a problem. So there's going to be a point in time in the foreseeable future where it's not at all going to be unheard of to have, you know, 100 megabyte standard photos. It's just, it's progression of technology. So when you get to a point, much like I'm about to get to, where you can no longer fit data on the hard drive, that's when you need to upgrade. And just upgrade to whatever seems reasonable to you. For example, I'm going to upgrade to 500 gigabyte drives because they are fairly cheap now. For the same price of an 80 gig drive, you know, 7 years ago, you could buy a 500 gig drive. So a small array of those will last you a good 5 to 10 years. And if you think about spending, what, $400 or $500 every 5 to 10 years, it's not that bad. The other part is that you do need to upgrade the actual equipment eventually, aside from the hard drive. And this is where it kind of gets a little less expensive. Because you only need to upgrade the equipment, you only need to upgrade the equipment when you actually need to replace the drive and you can no longer use a new drive. For example, the equipment that I'm using now, the motherboard does not actually support a SATA connection. And yeah, I can go and I can get a SATA, you know, controller and plug that in, blah, 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 blah. But I can just go buy a motherboard that will support SATA. So the equipment continues to migrate to newer and newer equipment. That's very good. And by doing this, you pretty much ensure that it's not only going to stay there, but it's always going to be accessible modernly. You also kind of refresh the data, if you want, if you will, because you move the data to new equipment that has a longer life. Because it is newer, it is less likely to fail. It's fantastic. Great. This is kind of the good solution. In order of perfect solutions, you'd probably want to go from tape drive to your own personal server. And then the last solution, which I don't really like so much, is the... before I forget. For buying... what you're essentially creating by creating this RAID server is you're creating network-attached storage. And you can go out and buy network-attached storage. The problem that I had with it is a lot of network-attached storage devices are not configured to be redundant. So if one drive fails, say it's a 2GB station made of 500GB drives, if one of the drives fails, it might not be redundant, and your data might, on the other, you know, four drives might just be gone. Or two drives, whatever the analogy was, I forgot what the analogy was. So you have to be very careful to make sure that you're buying something that when it does fail, it will notify you that it has failed and give you a chance to remove your data from it, but then you're out a lot of money, you have to do the same thing. But that is another solution. Now, what I was going on about before that is that you can do storage online, and there are a ton of companies that offer online storage. This has been very common for several years, although now it's extremely prevalent as a lot of computing is being done online more and more. The only storage company that I actually like is the storage solution from Amazon, because it is very cheap. I've had no problems, the uptime is great, and I trust that Amazon has a lot to lose if they screwed up and my data was lost, or if it was easily accessible to other people, although it's not crucial data. The only thing about online storage that bothers me is not the price, because you pay like nothing. And it's very accessible because, you know, you can, it's just space. You can browse the space fairly easily. The thing that bothers me is that if the company ever decides to be like, you know, we're just not going to do this business anymore. You know, this was fun, but we're done. Then you're kind of screwed, because they probably have a provision in the contract somewhere that says, we reserve the right at any given time to just cancel your service and not return your data. So you'd still want to have backup. If you really wanted to go with the online storage route, but you didn't want to get screwed over if the company went under, or if the company just decided to stop their business, is keep a backup somewhere. So say you have a photo collection, right? You burn the photos to DVD, and you put the photos online. Now, in the unlikely event that the online storage, assuming you got a reputable company, in that event that the online storage actually goes under, you still have this backup with this DVD. Now, this could be tomorrow, this could be 10 years that you actually need this backup, but chances are the backup will still be fine. If you want to get really paranoid, you can buy an archival quality DVD and keep them on there. Your only problem is finding a DVD drive, which you probably will be able to find a DVD drive in the foreseeable future pretty easily, for, you know, within 10 to 20 years. So if you have any questions or comments, or think that I'm wrong, because I probably am, you can email me at drakeanubis@gmail.com. And yeah.
Call me irresponsible, call me unreliable, a throw-in, undependable too. I do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever, I just adore you. So calm, unpredictable, tell me I'm impractical. A rainbow I'm inclined to pursue. Call me irresponsible, yes, I'm unreliable, but undeniably true. But I'm irresponsibly mad for you.